Hello, Royals fans. Welcome to the podcast Inside Athletics. Thanks for joining us this week. We have a good program in store for you to talk a little bit about what's been going on as the basketball season starts to wind down or wind up, whichever way you want to look at it, as everything starts to focus on postseason play. We've got a look at some regional rankings of some of our different teams. We've got an upcoming look at the indoor track championships as well. Men's volleyball continues running, and while baseball got an early start, they got the weekend off, but we'll look ahead to some of that. And then we just want to refresh your memory and talk about some of the initiatives that we have started, new programs we started for second semester, and highlight some of that. So I'm joined once again this week by our sports information director, James DeBoer. So James, why don't you start us off with what's on everybody's mind, at least right now, focusing on men's and women's basketball and what has happened over the last weeks and how we might start to lead into it.
Basketball sure is exciting right now. The men are locked in a heated battle for whatever place we're going to end up in. The men's conference standings are really a big mess right now. And on the women's side, our women are tied for the conference lead, so certainly a lot of excitement there as well. But let's start with the women, as they are tied for first in the conference with Guilford. We've won 9 in a row. Guilford's won 11 in a row. The big point is we're tied for the lead, and we're playing each other on Saturday here in Harrisonburg. So, A, make sure you come to the game. It's at 3 o'clock. It should be the best women's basketball game of the year. No offense to our game against Bridgewater. I think this one's very important. So that should be very exciting. The winner of that game obviously has a leg up for the top seed in the upcoming ODAC tournament, which is less than 2 weeks away right now. And especially for our women, if they win it, they'll have a one-game lead over Guilford in the standings, but two essentially, because head-to-head we will have beaten them twice if we beat them this weekend, and that would be really hard, I think, for the Quakers to hop over. But so very, very big game for the women coming up. Both teams playing very well. But watching our women play is just very exciting, Dave. We hosted Randolph-Macon Tuesday night. And if you look at how we played at Randolph-Macon a couple of weeks ago, we blew them out of the water in that game. It was a 25-point win. Macon's a very young team and is much improved this game as compared to what they were in January. We still came out with a pretty hard-fought 11-point win, I believe it was. And it's just a lot of fun to watch the women right now. We have a lot going for us. Steph Reinheimer has been heating up from the outside and hitting three-pointers. And inside, the Royals have an awful lot for other teams to handle. And I think that's one of the things that drives our women. We have Bianca Ygarza and Kayla Yoders, you know, all ODAC performers starting, and then Shakira Sykes coming off the bench. And, you know, the other night she had 23 points in 21 minutes. That's incredible. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that we noticed from that, and I think I mentioned the other week, is one of the things that's neat to see is how they are responding to the variety of different experiences and situations they have. So, for instance, yes, Randolph-Macon, they went down there. They shot better than set a school record, I think, for shooting percentage in that game.
Yeah.
And Randolph-Macon probably shot a percentage for shooting on the other end of the spectrum at that point. Yeah. So Coach Griffin knew it was going to be different. So they come out, and this team is doing certain things to them. Actually, it's the first team I saw that tried to run with us, to be honest with you. At least initially, they were getting up and down. So it's good to see that they are able to weather that storm, again, preparing them for what's going on. So it raises their confidence level as they go into that. And, yeah, I would say underneath our ladies in the middle, not only do they have some size, but the athleticism, I think, is what a lot of times you get size, but you don't always get the athleticism to be able to go right and left, et cetera. So it is truly good to see them starting to come together. I'm looking for their confidence level to keep on building. So it'll see how they respond to what clearly is the biggest game of the season so far on Saturday with Guilford. And again, if they can weather that storm and keep their nerves under control and come out with a victory or a well-played game or whatever you want to say, everything's now starting to prepare for the tournament.
And let's talk about the tournament in very short detail. There's a slight change this year, which, oddly enough, we won't actually get to see. But because of the addition of Shenandoah, the women's side is up to 12 teams. They have added a first-round game for the women's basketball tournament, similar to what the men have done in previous years. But that's seeds 5 through 8 hosting 9 through 12 on Monday, a week and a half away. Our women have clinched a spot in the quarterfinals already, and not sure if it's official, but they're probably going to be either the one or the two seed going in. So they're going straight to the quarterfinals on Thursday anyway. But there is a first-round game now. Right. All the teams from the women's will get into the tournament.
Well, and again, that's also based upon the fact that they're playing an unbalanced schedule now, which we'll get to about the men's in just a moment. But with the addition of 12th team, they've also gone to an unbalanced schedule, which means they will not have played the same teams the same number of times.
Yeah.
And therefore, you have to allow everybody a shot to get into the tournament. So we have sewn that up, and we won't have to do that. That would have been a quick turnaround from a Saturday game to a Monday and then to the tournament on Thursday.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's the women's side of the tournament.
Over on the men's side right now, the Royals with a tough loss to Virginia Wesleyan Wednesday at home. Played with the Marlins, who started the year ranked number one in the country. They are now unranked, but still second in the ODAC, very talented team. We trailed by double digits, got all the way down to within 4 points late in the second half and just couldn't get things done in the end and lost by five. So looked good at times, looked a little tougher at times. So we'd like to see the guys kind of get consistent. They've got 3 games left in the regular season. They are currently tied for eighth in the ODAC standings with Washington and Lee, also just 1 game behind Bridgewater. Now again, seeds 5 through 8. Host first round games on the Tuesday, a week and a half and away. Well, we're tied for eighth. That means if we slip it all, we go to ninth and we go on the road for that Tuesday. Right. So very big 3 games coming up for our men. They started out with a tough one at Randolph-Macon this weekend. It seems like we always have really good games with the Yellow Jackets, right, just on the road this time. But next week at home to close out the regular season with 2 games should be a ton of fun, starting with Bridgewater. Next right. Wednesday.
So. Well, again, that's one of the things that it's very difficult for us to project ahead because of the unbalanced schedule. Mm-hmm. As we've said numerous times, top to bottom, the ODAC is very, very strong, and on any given night, somebody can beat the other one. But let's face it, there are some teams at the bottom. So, you know, WNL, I know we looked at that, and they're playing the Macons and the Wesleyans and the Sydneys yet at the end. You know, we're playing the Bridgewaters and Roanokes. And so, you know, it's like this big mess, and then all of a sudden it settles on the last Saturday, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because right now, on any given time, we can move from 7th to 9th place based upon that. So, for instance, last evening we play Virginia Wesleyan, number 2 team in the ODAC, and Bridgewater goes and plays Shenandoah, who's in last place and hasn't won a game. So mm-hmm. not saying either game is easy or not, but that doesn't tell the whole picture. So the whole picture isn't shown until the end, and then, to be quite honest, it's not shown until the end down in Salem for that.
Right.
So there will be a lot of fluctuation. Again, they are also on course for a play-in game on Tuesday, the 19th, I believe it is.
I think so.
And hopefully we will be hosting. Hopefully it won't be Bridgewater. Not that it's just we don't need.
It'd be good for the ticket sales.
Yeah,
right?
I know, but we don't need the rivalry one more time. But anyway, that's and again, I would say consistency. As I talked to Coach Dean the other night after the game. You know, probably most frustrated just not making the plays, not running the plays, sort of. And I think it was very easy against the Virginia Wesleyan team. It was extremely athletic,
yeah.
And you just start to play with the athleticism, and you forget sometimes about running your plays and your set things. And some some of the guys, you know, choke. I don't know what you want to call it. We had a couple of shots right at the end, you know, stiff arming, missing a 8-footer by throwing it 1 foot short of the basket. I mean, that it's just that kind of stuff that mm-hmm. you have to play with the confidence and consistency and knowing what plays you're running. And end of the first half, they get the ball. Virginia Wesleyan has a ball under the basket with 1 second to go. Well, you know there's only one play to run at that particular point, and we don't defend it, and they run it and dunk the basketball on a lob. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just – those kinds of things that mentally you've got to stay in the game and be prepared for every situation, and you can't just let it go on the athleticism. You're trying to play defense and you're trying to run, you're trying to get out and go and score off transition and all of that, but then when you come back to it, you got to really do the things that are there. So I think that's been the most – how do you get the consistency? How do you get the confidence in hitting the three-pointers? If you look at the stats from that game with Wesleyan, everything was pretty well even except
yep.
for three-pointers.
Yep.
And not so much that we didn't hit the highest percentage, but they just scored a lot more on mm-hmm. them. So,
well, as we get ahead looking at tournaments, another key thing we have to talk about is the regional rankings, and basketball just released theirs late Wednesday night, the first ones of the year. I've been anxiously waiting these things. The men's side, we are not ranked, and I think we kind of knew this the last couple of weeks. Anyway, for our men to get an NCAA tournament bid, they're going to have to win the ODAC tournament. They will not get an at-large, I don't think. But on the women's side, it's going to be pretty interesting. We are ranked 7th in the South region. Guilford is ranked 8th. They happen to have a better in-region record, but some percentages somewhere or other, maybe just because we have the head-to-head, we are ranked above them. Still pretty low in the South region, so it might depend on how the teams ahead of us do. But at least we're ahead of Guilford. It's a good start and certainly a lot of fun just to watch how those regional rankings shake out. As a note of reference, I believe last year we finished number 6 in the South region for women's basketball, did not get an at-large bid. But, of course, we also lost in the ODAC semifinals. There's so many variables that can go in there, but it's good to see those coming out. Another fun thing about regional rankings, track and field has them as well. Now, these regional rankings have nothing to do with whether or not you get into the national championships for track and field, but very exciting and kind of surprised to see our track teams ranked. The men are ranked number 6 in the South-Southeast region. The women are ranked number 9. I didn't really expect that already this year. We don't field athletes in all of the sports, but the ones we have and the sports that we have are doing so well that it's getting our team some national
recognition. The regional rankings for track and field are determined by the performances that individuals have had in those events that are held at the National Indoor Championship. Mm-hmm. So again, when they go to these meets, all of the indoor meets, many of them have divisions 1, 2, and 3 athletes there and all that. So there really are not team standings taken. So it's not based upon how your team has done. It's based upon how individuals have done within the events. And some of the events actually that are being run at certain meets are not competed at the national level, so that one doesn't count. But we certainly have been excited about records continuing to fall. Track and field is off this week, I believe, in preparation for one more before they go on to the ODAC championship. So we're expecting, I'm assuming, we're expecting to see some more records fall.
They just keep going. And sometimes, you know, obviously the athletes are breaking their own records, which is set a couple of weeks ago. But it's just very fun to watch these athletes with the coaching of Coach Lukowitz and his staff just knocking down some of the records.
And it's interesting to see that it's not just the longer distances as well. I jumped the other week, and then, you know, we're getting into some relays and some things like that. So that's certainly exciting as well. Men's volleyball back on the road again for some conference, not the conference weekend, but against some competition.
Well, it's interesting. We're back up at Teal College up by Pittsburgh, and I think this is the second of three different times we go up there this year.
We'll be there 3 times.
So playing 3 games, it's called a CVC crossover. So there's some teams from the CVC West coming in that will get a play. And so they're playing Fontbonne Cazenovia on Saturday, and then Teal, the third match they'll play in the week, and they'll play them on Sunday. So a lot of fun. We got to see them at home this past weekend. Great to see the Royals at home because they aren't home very much this year. So it's good to see that and send them back out.
We will see them at the CVC. We are hosting one of the CVC games, not the crossover, but the actual conference match in which, again, as we've mentioned, the east part of the CVC gets together twice a season, once here at EMU and the other one, I believe, at one of the other CVC schools in the east.
I believe it's Cairn this time.
I think it's Cairn University in Philadelphia, but they play all their matches against each other that count for standings in one weekend. So we will host one of those, which will be both a lot of fun and a lot of work. And we'll give you some more details on that as well. But yeah, they will get, it's one of the things that we have agreed that different schools will host these tournaments and they'll cross over and different schools will come in. You get to play other competition in your region, but also in Division III. And since we are geographically an outlier for all of these, that's why Teal, Juniata, and some of the others become more likely spots that we're going to go to. So that's why it's a little difficult for us to host some home matches as well. So we'll take advantage of it when we can. Baseball had a good start. Softball still hasn't gone yet. What are we looking for in there this coming week or weekend?
Well, definitely a lot of fun for the baseball team. They went down to North Carolina, won their first 2 games, surprising a lot of people because USA South, generally a very good baseball conference, and so it was nice to go down and take 2 from North Carolina Wesleyan. They have the week off, a chance to regroup and figure out, you know, what they saw from the first weekend. They're back at Christopher Newport next week, so another traditionally tough competition. It's interesting to see the preseason polls, which have, in the grand scheme of things, the coaches vote on it, don't always know things, and sometimes you can say they don't hugely matter, but right. it gives you a bit of an idea of what we were expecting out of teams. And the Royals baseball team was picked last in the conference. The softball poll just came out a couple days ago, and the softball team was picked seventh in the conference. I tend to think both of our teams are gonna finish higher than what they were picked. And that's certainly fine with both coaches. I can promise you that much.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised when I saw them coming out as well. But again, I think every coach you talk to, they're the ones that are voting. But then in the end, they say it doesn't really matter anyway of what they're going to do. So, yeah, they're certainly getting ready to go. Excited about that as well. Just want to call attention to, again, we've mentioned these a time or two, but want to keep them in front of you to recognize the three new programs that we have started this second semester, and we've gotten really good reviews from them. The first is our Player of the Week, which you and Sue Kolb and I decide on each Monday. We are looking at athletic performance from the week before. However, we also want to take into consideration other things. Maybe the stats aren't quite as much there, but you talk to the coach about the impact they had with a particular game, et cetera, and that's been really exciting for us to do that. We've got the certificates made up now that we can honor them, put them on the bulletin board. The second one is the all academic award. And again, that's a cumulative GPA at the end of each semester. It's not just the work of that semester. That's what most dean's lists are, et cetera. We wanted to separate a little bit from the regular dean's list of the university. Also because we do firmly believe that, as in athletics, the long haul is really important. Flash pans and a great game one time doesn't really help a whole lot unless you can sustain that. So sustainable athletic performance is really critical to success of the team. The same thing is true in academics. So therefore, we're doing a cumulative GPA, which again, hopefully over the years, encourages kids to get started right from the beginning and not get behind the eight ball. So that's been publicized. We're going to put it, the marketing department's done a great job to help us put that out there. So we recognize that it is a 3.25 GPA and above. So we're very honored about that. Last evening was really exciting at the last basketball game. We honored the last of our seniors, and I invited all senior athletes, fall, winter, and spring, to come to halftime of one of our basketball games, and asked them to invite a faculty or staff person who has been significant to them during their 4 years here or during their college education. And it was really exciting to be able to have them walk out there, to introduce them in their major, and then to see the faculty and staff. And I guess probably one of the observations I'd make is how this meant so much to the faculty and staff. Several of them told me that they were, number one, it was a great experience for the player, the student athlete, to actually acknowledge that this person has made a part of it and to go invite them to come. And the faculty and staff just felt completely honored that they would and just wanted to come and be there. So it was great. Again, not all the kids responded. We'll still somehow publicize all of this, I hope, at some point, because it is significant. I hope it's a tradition that we've gotten started. And I was really pleased to see how many of the athletes responded. And again, we said that if you ask somebody and they have already been asked by somebody else, that's okay. We don't want you to have to go to someone else's significance. Right. And I will be honest, there was a faculty member who also told me that it was the first time he was in the gym in 4 years. So, you know, that's great. So we want to show the connectedness. I think we do need to honor our student athletes more, because for many of them, for all of them, the amount of time that we're asking them to put in a year-round way at this point, and then also this in a small school where you don't have where you have limited sections, so therefore you've got to miss the start of practice or the end of practice or whatever. It's something we need to recognize more. And speaking of the recognition, James and I had the opportunity just the other day to meet with representatives from Bridgewater College in preparation for Division III week, which comes up in April. And they will be doing some things on their campus to celebrate student athletes in Division III. We will be doing some on our campus, and we work together on some ideas of how we might be able to promote Division III and Division III sports in the community, both from an educational standpoint of saying, here's what Division III is, and also to give back to the community for all the support they have. So we mm-hmm. came up with several different ideas, and we're going to work at that. There is also a National Student Athlete Day, Saturday, April the 6th or something like that. But I wanted to alert you, first of all, to the fact that we are going to continue to find ways to celebrate the Division III student athlete, but also Division III in general, which last podcast, I talked to you about some of the advantages of Division III and some of the highlights of Division III and who we were and how we're trying to promote ourselves rather than simply being the negative connotation, mm-hmm. oh, you're the one that doesn't give athletic scholarships. Mm-hmm. And when you begin to hear the student-athlete experiences, as we were able to hear through this whole Athlete of the Week and also the senior recognition, they recognize and talk about how valuable it has been to be able to do both. And many times at the Division I level, you can't really do both, mm-hmm. Or you're very limited in what you can do outside of your sport. So we will continue to do that. I wanted to alert you to that. We'll give some more publicity out on that. But we are working together with Bridgewater. Some people wonder about that, but Kirk Kendall.
We like them too.
Kirk Kendall, their athletic director down there, and I get along very well. We're good friends, and they're doing a great job down there, and we are as well. And hopefully this adds to the opportunity that we have, which should happen in all sports. The competition can be fierce. It can be competitive. We want to see our team win. But after it's all over, we're human beings. We're getting up. We're going to work the next day. And I certainly hope that in the midst of the competition that we have, and this is something I think is also significant to Division III, the next day, or let's just say the results of the competition on any field or court, should not reflect upon the value or the worth of either the player or the institution. So just because they win in baseball or soccer or field hockey or whatever it is, it's not that they're better. We're all trying to do the same thing. And so while I can appreciate competition and appreciate the rivalries that we have, I always hope that we can work in such a way to recognize the fact that it really doesn't say anything about the value of our institutions. It has to say on that night, this team performed better than the other team. And then we're all trying to do the same thing, and that is create better student athletes. Mm-hmm. So we are working together on them, and I hope that becomes something that we can celebrate together in the midst of our competition. Well, thanks for joining us this week. Stay tuned. A lot going on as we start to head towards the conference tournament. Next week, we'll probably be able to potentially bring in some of the coaches as they prepare for it, or might be the following week. We'll try to do that to get Kirby and Kevin's basketball coaches their viewpoint on how it's going to shape up. But again, we may not know till the very last day of the regular season. Thanks for joining us. I hope you have a great weekend. If you're in the area, please come out and support our teams. Check everything out on the webpage. Give us your feedback. Become a part of the Royal Nation, and we certainly thank you for your support. Until we meet next week, I invite you to make it a great week.